Dear Rao Maharaj, I'm sorry I ran out of tape at the end of that song. Now I have just turned it over. It's around 8:30. I was going to observe a little silence and then later go back to the house. But still, I continue thinking of you all, Surya, Padma Devi, your aunts, uncle, the working sisters, the newly married neighbor. Your cousin in Hyderabad, the two sisters in Bhimavaram who gave up their house for a foreigner, the neighbors who you are tutoring, your town Bhimavaram, your city of Hyderabad, your holy land of India, the sages and saints who have tread the soil, country, the peace and happiness that they have sung numerous songs of, that how they have lived like rishis, absorbed in the Self, in God, the very embodiments of God. It gives me great pleasure to think of all these things and to think of you all. I think it is blessings upon me by Bhagavan that I have met you, that I have visited your homes, that I have sang bhajans with you, that have partaken of your food, your hospitality, your love and blessings. I think this is a wonderful and great thing in my life, that I can sit here in this temple all alone and think of you, sit before Sri Bhagavan, sit before Sri Lalita Maha Tripura Sundari, and immerse my thoughts in you, and in Bhagavan, in David. I think by the grace of Bhagavan, I have met you, I continue to think of you, and I pray that Sri Bhagavan may fulfill all your prayers, ambitions, noble desires. Most of all, I pray that He may give you the peace and happiness and bliss of knowing Him, of abiding in Him, that He may give that to all of us. We're all His children. You are my family, more than my family. You are the same. We are the same spirit, and our body is extending in different countries. So I pray from the depths of my heart that Sri Bhagavan may give you everything that you desire, and most of all, give you the happiness of Himself. The next morning, I'm in Sri Arunachala Ramana Mandiram, about to listen to the Veda Parayana. And I brought you along with me to listen. And I'll begin this, and then you can follow the morning procedure here. And also join me. Now, after the Veda Parayana have come down to the basement, and I'm about to
prepare for the Ramakrishna Puja. You can hear me moving the various items about, which are used for the special morning puja. Only Ram Maharaj may know what exactly this puja is. I'm heating the milk, and I give the other devotee here, Shep, whom we've had with the ashram since June 86. My neighbor, Mr. Connell, has a son who's had this dog, Shep, and he was going to put him away for various reasons. Mr. Connell took him from his son and brought him here to the ashram. So he follows me through the routine. He comes to the temple in the morning, afternoon, and evening. And is very loyal to the ashram. So I warm the milk a little bit and give it to Shep. And if you listen carefully, you can hear Shep taking his prasad. The food is over. And I just have started to have some of the prasad. And the main thing, I'll have the reading of the Gospel of Ramakrishna, and I'm sitting here in the kitchen as it's a bit cold outside this morning, below freezing. And other rooms in the basement or the first floor of the temple here, I haven't been heating, so I'm just warming up the kitchen a little bit and having some of the prasad and your company and the company of Bhagavan Ramakrishna Paramahams. Today we're on chapter 21. I'm beginning it, A Day at Dakshineswar. And it's Saturday, April 5th, 1884. It was about 8 o'clock in the morning when M arrived at the temple garden and found Sri Ramakrishna seated on the small couch in his room. A few devotees were sitting on the floor. The master was talking to them. Ramakrishna Mukherjee was there. Ramakrishna belonged to the aristocratic family and lived in the northern part of Calcutta. He held a high post in an English business firm. He was very much devoted to Sri Ramakrishna and, though a householder, derived great pleasure from the study of Vedanta philosophy. He was a frequent visitor at the temple garden. Once he invited the master to his house in Calcutta and held a religious festival. Every day, early in the morning, he bathed in the holy water of the Ganga. Whenever it was convenient, he would come to Dakshineswar in a hired country boat. That morning, he had hired a boat and invited M to accompany him to Dakshineswar. The boat had hardly left shore when the river became choppy. M had become frightened and begged Ramakrishna to put him back on land. In spite of assurances, M had kept saying, "You must put me ashore. I shall walk to Dakshineswar." And so M came on foot and found Sri Ramakrishna talking to Ramakrishna and the others. "Master," to Ramakrishna, "but there is a greater manifestation of God in man. You may ask, how is it possible for God to be incarnated as a man who suffers from hunger, thirst, and the other traits of an embodied being, and perhaps also from disease and grief?" The reply is, even Brahman weeps entrapped in the snare of the five elements. Don't you know how Rama had to weep, stricken with grief for Sita? Further, it is said that the Lord incarnated himself as a sow, in order to kill the demon Hiranyaksha. Hiranyaksha was eventually killed, but God would not go back to his abode in heaven. He enjoyed his sow's life. He had given birth to several young ones and was rather happy with them. The gods among themselves said, "What does this mean? The Lord doesn't care to return to heaven." They all went to Shiva and laid the matter before him. Shiva came down and urged the Lord to leave the sow body and return to heaven, but the sow only suckled her young ones. Then Shiva destroyed the sow's body with his trident, and the Lord came out laughing aloud and went back to his own abode. Prahn Krishna to the Master. "Sir, what is the Anahata sound?" Master. "It is a spontaneous sound constantly going on by itself. It is the sound of the Pranava, Om. It originates in the Supreme Brahman and is heard by yogis. People immersed in worldliness do not hear it. A yogi alone knows that this sound originates both from his navel and from the Supreme Brahman resting in the ocean of milk." [Footnote: According to Hindu mythology, after the dissolution of the universe and before the next creation, the Supreme Lord rests in on the ocean of the great cause, also called the ocean of milk. Prana Krishna. "Sir, what is the nature of the life after death?" Master. Keshab San also asked that question. "As long as a man remains ignorant, that is to say, as long as he has not realized God, so long will he be born. But after attaining knowledge, he will not have to come back to this earth or to any other plane of existence. The potter puts his pots in the sun to dry. Haven't you noticed that among them there are both baked and unbaked ones? When a cow happens to walk over them, some of the pots get broken to pieces. The broken pots that are already baked, the potter throws away, since they are of no more use to him. But the soft ones, though broken, he gathers up. He makes them into a lump, and out of this forms new pots. In the same way, so long as man has not realized God, he will have to come back to the potter's hand. That is, he will have to be born again and again." "What is the use of sowing a boiled paddy grain? It will never bring forth a shoot. Likewise, if a man is boiled in the fire of knowledge, he will not be used for new creation. He is liberated. According to the Puranas, the Bhakta and the Bhagavan are two separate entities. I am one and you are another. The body is a plate, as it were, containing the water of mind, intelligence, and ego. Brahman is like the sun. It is reflected in the water. Therefore, the devotee sees the divine form. According to the Vedanta, Brahman alone is real, all else is Maya, dreamlike and unsubstantial. The ego, like a stick, lies across the ocean of subject Anand. To him, listen to what I am saying. When this ego is taken away, there remains only one undivided ocean of subject Ananda. But as long as the stick of ego remains, there is an appearance of two. Here is one part of the water and there another part. Attaining the knowledge of Brahman, one is established in samadhi. Then the ego is effaced. But Shankaracharya, retain the ego of knowledge." [Footnote: The ego illumined and purified by the knowledge of God. Following the method of discrimination, the jnani in samadhi merges his ego in Brahman. Therefore, he may come down to the relative plane with an appearance of individuality, but even then he is always conscious of his identity with Brahman. This apparent ego is called the ego of knowledge. A bhakta, following the path of love, realizes his eternal relationship with God. He too keeps an appearance of individuality on the relative plane. This ego has none of the characteristics of the worldly ego and is called the ego of devotion. The two egos here described refer to the same state of realization. But Shankaracharya retained the ego of knowledge in order to teach men to pram Krishna. But there are signs that distinguish the man of knowledge. Some people think they have knowledge. What are the characteristics of knowledge? Again, he cannot injure anybody. He becomes like a child. If a steel sword touches the philosopher's stone, it is transformed into gold. Gold can never cut. It may seem from the outside that a jnani also has anger or egotism, but in reality he has no such thing. From a distance, a burnt string lying on the ground may look like a real one, but if you come near and blow at it, it disappears altogether. The anger and egotism of a jnani are mere appearances. They are not real. A child has no attachment. He makes a playhouse, and if anyone touches it, he will jump about and cry. The next moment, he himself will break it. This moment, he may be very attached to his cloth. He says, "My daddy has given it to me. I won't part with it." But the next moment, you may cajole him away from it with a toy. He will go away with you, leaving the cloth behind. These are the characteristics of a jnani. Perhaps he has many luxuries at home, couch, chairs, paintings, and equipage. But any day he may leave all these and go off to Banaras. According to Vedanta, the waking state too is unreal. Once a woodcutter lay dreaming. When someone woke him up, greatly annoyed, he said, "Why have you disturbed my sleep? I was dreaming that I was a king and the father of 7 children. The princes were becoming well versed in the letters and military arts. I was secure on my throne and ruled over my subjects. Why have you demolished my world of joy?" "But that was a mere dream," said the other man. "Why should that bother you, fool?" said the woodcutter. "You don't understand. My becoming a king in the dream was just as real as my being a woodcutter. If being a woodcutter is real, then being a king in a dream is also real." Sri Krishna always talked about jnana. Was this why the master described the state of a jnani? Now he proceeded to describe the state of a vijnani. Master, jnana is the realization of self through the process of neti neti, not this, not this. One goes into samadhi through this process of elimination and realizes the Atman. But vijnana means knowledge with a greater fullness. Some have heard of milk, some have seen milk, and some have drunk milk. He who has merely heard of it is ignorant. He who has seen it is a jnani. But he who has drunk it has vijnana, that is to say, a fuller knowledge of it. After having the vision of God, one talks to him as if he were an intimate relative. That is vijnana. First of all, you must discriminate, following the method of neti neti. He is not the 5 elements, nor the sense organs, nor the mind, nor the intelligence, nor the ego. He is beyond all these cosmic principles. You want to climb to the roof? Then you must eliminate and leave behind all the steps one by one. The steps are by no means the roof. But after reaching the roof, you find that the steps are made of the same materials, brick, lime, and brick dust, as the roof. It is the Supreme Brahman that has become the universe and its living being, and the 24 cosmic principles. That which is Atman has become the 5 elements. You may ask why the earth is so hard. if it has come out of Atma. All is possible through the will of God. Don't you see that bone and flesh are made from blood and semen? How hard sea foam becomes. After attaining vijnana, one can live in the world as well. Then one clearly realizes that God Himself has become the universe and all living beings, that He is not outside the world. To Puran Krishna, the fact is that one must have the spiritual eye. You develop that eye as soon as your mind becomes pure. Take, for instance, the Kumari Puja. I worship the Virgin. The girl, to be sure, had all her human imperfections. Still, I regarded her as the Divine Mother herself. On one side is the wife, and the other side the son. Love is bestowed on both, but in different ways. Therefore, it comes to this, that everything depends upon the mind. The pure mind acquires a new attitude. Through that mind, one sees God in this world. Therefore, one needs spiritual discipline. Yes, spiritual discipline is necessary. You should know that a man becomes easily attached to a woman. A woman naturally loves a man, and a man also naturally loves a woman. Therefore, both fall speedily from their spiritual ideal. But it also must be said that there is a great advantage in leading the life of a householder. In case of urgent necessity, a man may live with his wife. Smiling. Well, M, why are you smiling? M to himself. The master makes this much allowance for householders, since they cannot renounce everything. Is complete and absolute continence impossible for a householder? A happy yogi who had been living in the Panchavati entered the room. He was in the habit of taking milk and opium. He did not eat rice or other food and had no money to buy the milk and opium. The master had talked with him in the Panchavati. The happy yogi had told Rakhal to ask the master to make some provision for him, and Sri Ramakrishna had promised to speak about it to the visitors from Calcutta. Happy yogi to the master. What did you say to Rakhal about me, master? I said I would ask some rich visitors to help you, but, to Prana Krishna, you perhaps do not like these yogis. Prana Krishna remained silent. The happy yogi left the room, and the conversation went on. Master, to Prana Krishna and the others, if a man leads a householder's life, he must have unflagging devotion to truth. God can be realized through truth alone. Formerly, I was very particular about telling the truth, though now my zeal has abated a little. If I said, I shall bathe, then I would get into the water of the Ganga, recite the mantra, and sprinkle a little water over my head. But still, there would remain some doubt in me as to whether my bath was complete. Once I went to Ram's house in Calcutta. I happened to say, I shall not take any luchi. When I sat down for the meal, I felt hungry. But I had said I would not eat the luchi, so I had to fill my stomach with sweets. But my zeal for truthfulness has abated a little now. Once I said I would go to the pine grove for the call of nature. But then I felt I had no particular urge to go. What was to be done? I asked Ram. Footnote, Ram Chatterjee, the priest in the Radha Kanta temple. I asked Ram about it. He said, I did not have to go. Then I reasoned to myself, well, everyone is Narayana, so Ram too is Narayana. Why shouldn't I listen to him? The elephant is Narayana, no doubt, but the Mahout is Narayana too. Since the Mahout asked me not to go near the elephant, then why shouldn't I obey him? Through reasoning like this, my zeal for truthfulness is slightly less strong now than before. I find a change coming over me. Years ago, Vaishnava Charan said to me, one attains perfect knowledge when one sees God in man. Now I see that it is God alone who is moving about in various forms. as a holy man, as a chief, as a villain. Therefore I say, Narayana in the guise of a sadhu, Narayana in the guise of a chief, Narayana in the guise of the villain, Narayana in the guise of the lecturer. Now my problem is, how can I feed all of you? I want to feed everyone. So I keep one at a time with me and feed him. Prana Krishna, looking at him and smiling, a fine man indeed, to the master. He will not let us go till we put him ashore. Master smiling, why? What happened? Prana Krishna, he was in our boat. Seeing that the river was slightly rough, he insisted on being put ashore. To him, how did you come? M, smiling, on foot. Sri Ramakrishna laughed. Prana Krishna, to the master, sir, I am thinking now of giving up my work. One who is involved in activity cannot accomplish anything. Pointing to his companion, I am training him to do my work. After I resign, he will relieve me. Work has become intolerable. Master, yes, work is very troublesome. It is now good for you to meditate on God for a few days in solitude. No doubt you say that you would like to give up your work. Captain said the same thing. Worldly people talk that way, but they don't succeed in carrying out their intention. There are many pundits who speak words of wisdom, but they merely talk. They don't live up to them. They are like vultures which soar very high but keep their gaze fixed on the carnal pit. What I mean is that these pundits are attached to the world, to women and gold. If I hear that pundits are practicing discrimination and dispassion, then I fear them. Otherwise, I look upon them as mere goats and dogs.
I have returned back to the mandiram upstairs and will recite the Sri Lalita Sahasranam Stotram and then observe some silence. I think I'll only be able to put into this tape the beginning of the recitation, for I see it coming to an end.
Shukalam varu daram vishnum shashivaranam chaturbhujam prasanavaranam dhyayet sarva vigano pashantaye ganesha sarva devanam adipujaha sadairapi sarvairapi mahavignana shako anyo nabhidhyate Gaye Ganapati Jagavandan Shankara Subhana Bhavani Nandan Siddhi Sadhana Gadabhadanayaka Kripa Sindhu Sundara Sabhalayaka Moraka Priya Mora Mangara Data Vidyavaridhi Buri Data Mangata Tulasi Dasaka Jori Vasani Rama Siyamane Samori Gurur Brahma Gurur Vishnur Gurur Devo Maheshwaraha Guru Sakshat Param Brahma Tasamai Sri Gurave Namaha Om Sindarana Vigraham Trinayana Monikya Moresvaratara Nayaka Chekaram Smitamukhi Mahapina Bhakshuraham Panibhya Malipurna Ratna Chasakam Raktotvaram Vibhritim Somyam Rakana Chasta Ratna Taranam Jaye Paramam Vikam Arunam Karuna Taram Gitakshim Dritapasham Krishapushpavana Chapam Marima Vidhi Ravritam Mayukaye Rahamitye Vibhavaye Bhavanim Jaye Paramasanastan Vikasena Varanam Paramapatra Itakshim Hema Mahami Ravakstam Karakalit Latadham Parimam Varam Gim Sarvalam Karyuktam Satatam Bhayadam Bhaktamam Ram Bhavanim Sri Yam Shantamuritim Sakarasuranatam Sarvasam Papradatrim Takum Kongyale Panam Arakatumbi Kasturi Kam Samandahasi Taxanam So Tarutapapasam Kusam Ashe Sajanamorhinam Marunamaya Pusham Baram Japa Kusam Dhasaram Japa Vido Samare Dambikam Om Sri Mata, Sri Maharani, Sri Mata Senghasane, Sri Tadanga Kunda Sambhuta, Deva Kara Samudjita, Udhana Bhanu Sahasra Bhata Turbaho Samandita, Radha Sarupa Pasha, Dha Krodha Karan Kusodvala, Maro Rupek Sukoda Na Patata Matra, Sayakani Daruna Prabha Pura Majan Pramanda Mandala, Champaka Ashoka Pona Vasoka Nikola Satkata Kuravendamani Sreni Karakotira Mandita Ashtami Chandra Vibraja Dala Kastala Shobita Mukhichandra Kala Kapa Megana Vivisheshaka Varana Smara Mangalaya Gratorna Chalika Vakta Lakshmi Parivaha Chalamina Balochana Lava Champaka Pushpavana Sadana Varajata Tara Kantita Skarina Sabarana Basara Rama Mandir Kalipta Karana Pura Manohara Tatanga Yubali Bhuta Tapano Dupa Mandala Pandaraga Saradarasi Paribhava Kapola Boho Lava Vindram Vindeshvinya Kali de Sarantara Sundha Vindam Karaka Vida Panti Dayodala Karapura Viti Kamor Samankarashi Digantara Visam Lapama Dura Vindar Bastata Kachapi Manasri Prabha Pura Majad Kame Shamanasa A Nikalita Sadra Sadra Pukha Sri Virajita Kame Sabara Mangalaya Sotra Sofita Kandhara Karankangara Kaya Kamaniya Mujan Vita Ratna Kray Vaitain Thakalola Mukta Palan Vita Kame Sara Prema Ratmani Pranipana Sini Nabhyala Roma Lila Tafal Kitadvai Pita Shobana Shira Manasa Bindu Tapana Santushta Pujatri Parambika Dasha Mudda Samara Dasri Purishri Vishankari Gana Mudda Gana Gamya Gana Gesa Rupani Yoni Mudra Trigane Sri Triganamba Gana God Anuga Bhutarita Vaitita Tarpadayani Abhyata Shagyata Swadadita Rupani Abhyata Karana Murti Agyana Dwana Deepika Abhara Gopi Vrita Sarvana Lana Sasana Shri Takaraja Mulya Shri Matri Purushundari Shri Shiva Shiva Shakti Karupani Laritam Vika Om Devam Sri Lalita Devya Namanam Sahasrakam Jagoho Om Sindarana Vingraham Trinayna Monikya Morisvarattara Nayaka Shekaram Smitamukhi Mapina Vakshuraham Panibhya Maripurana Ratna Chasakam Rakshot Param Vibhratim Somyam Marakana Chastarakna Taranam Jaye Paramambikam Arunam Karuna Taram Gitaksham Drishtapasham Kushapushpavana Chapam Harima Vibhira Vritam Mayukaye Rahamitye Vibhavaye Bhavanyam Vyaye Paramasanastan Vikasira Varanan Paramapatra Itaksham Haimam Ham Viravaktam Karakanitlatadam Padmam Varamyam Sarvalam Kariyuktam Satatam Vedam Bhaktamam Ram Bhavanim Sri Vidyam Masanta Moritim Sakara Surunatam Sarvasam Pavradatrim Sakum Kum Yale Panamaraka Chumbi Kastodikam Samanda Hasitakshanam Sotarita Papasam Kusham Ashesha Janamohinam Marunamaya Bhosham Baram Japakusham Bhasaram Japavidosumaridam Vikam Om Tukhyam Namo Devi Tukhyam Namo Devi Tukhyam Namo Devi Tukhyam Namaha.